That is so sweet. Sweet.
What is sweet?
Oh, nothing, nothing. Good things come to those who wait.
Yeah.
Wait for what, huh?
It's a surprise.
Oh, come on now, give me just a little hint, hmm?
All right, I'll give you just one little hint. Will you marry me?
What?
Guess you couldn't wait till baseball season.
Will you?
You big lug. I'm yours forever.
Just as I pictured it.
But my answer is no.
No?
No.
No.
There's that echo again.
Hi. Welcome back to...
Ayo. Away.
The Who's the Boss podcast. I'm Tori.
I'm Kevin.
And we are here to rewatch and discuss every single episode of Who's the Boss. Today we're going to cover season 4, episode 21. The title is Marry Me, Mona. It first aired on Tuesday, March 29th, 1988. And the TV Guide summary says, Mona has cold feet when it looks like her relationship with Max is leading to the altar. Until she meets his ex. What does yours say?
Oh, I thought, I'm like, oh God, we're stopping again? No. I was always wait for more. Mona rejects the marriage proposal of Max Muldoon, then changes her mind when Max's ex-wife, Suzanne, shows up, asking him to get back with her. Angela, unaware of Mona's motives, meanwhile, wonders why her mother is suddenly so eager to marry. And then there's another one from Anonymous, just like it, except she must be the same person at another one. She added that Suzanne's 24. Do they ever say her age?
They do.
Okay,
say
they
her
do.
Age.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then that's perceptive. That's good. And then there's Max Muldoon proposes again to Mona. Initially, she refuses, but suddenly Tony and the Bowers get to enjoy planning their bachelor nights and wedding, and welcome a desirable in-law. Desirable.
He is a desirable
he
in-law.
He is. Angela, however, soon smells a rat and ends up making Ma admit she only got interested again after learning Max's younger ex wants him back. Being an insatiably competitive man-eater.
Oh, dear.
Which Angela can't accept as motive.
Okay. All right. So this episode is very odd. Now, first of all, I'm going to say I like this episode way more than I was expecting.
Yeah. Didn't you think you hated this episode? Or not
yeah,
hated,
I never rewatched
never
it.
Never liked it.
Yeah.
Really? But because I feel like we rewatched this recently when I watched it today.
Really?
Yes.
Are you sure you weren't thinking of when she met Max?
No. I feel like it seemed familiar to me.
Well, it also has familiar parallels to the episode where Mona redoes her apartment. Like the big blow-up fight and then Angela going to the apartment to make up.
Yeah, but I mean, when the girlfriend shows up, Suzanne,
okay.
I just feel like I saw
All
that
right,
recently.
Maybe
we so
did.
The only thing I can figure is we watched the episode before it and it rolled into this. And
we were putting dishes away
and I sat here and watched it and didn't help put dishes away or something. I don't know. I feel like I watched it. So
it's odd because Max is back.
Or my memory from however many years ago is
right on point.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with that one.
Yeah, right.
Just knowing you as well as I do.
No.
I'm going to... Okay, so Max is back, but we haven't heard a lick about Max since he was on last.
No, and we know Mona's been a little promiscuous in the meantime, too.
Yeah, they have not... It's not like even Mona said anything, you know, referring to her boyfriend Max or that now that she's in a committed relationship. Nothing. We've heard nothing. So first I thought, okay, well, was this episode supposed to air right after his first episode? And that's why, like, it was a complete storyline wrapped up.
I know, it seems like... I thought about that today, too. Like, this seems like it was supposed to air, like, 4 episodes ago or something, or 5 or whatever.
Yeah, but it did not air after. It was not filmed until Just Me and Mona, or Just Mona and Me, is episode 4-8 as far as being filmed. So it was the 8th episode they shot. And then this episode is the 19th episode they shot.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But it still doesn't mean that maybe they were supposed to air closer together. You know what I mean? Like, it still could have been the plan, but then for some reason it wasn't.
Well, so my thought...
Because they do air stuff... I mean, shoot stuff out of order.
But then my thought was, because there's such a gap in between, they didn't know that Leslie Nielsen would be able to come back. They just kind of went on as if it was a one-shot.
Oh. Okay.
Maybe they were hoping that he would be able to come back for another episode, but didn't know. And then once they knew, then they put this together as if they had been.
That's possible.
The other thing about this episode is there are four writers listed.
Oh.
It's Ken Cinnamon, Howard Myers, Karen Wengrod, Joe Fish. Joe Fish is the only name that I don't recognize. Me either. In that group. His first episode was Steady As She Goes. So actually, he just wrote an episode. And I think I remember his name because I was like, Fish? Oh, yeah, Jenna Fisher is probably how you say it. Okay, Fish. So then I wonder, like, okay, was it Leslie Nielsen can come back? So we need to write an episode. You four, do that right
now. Yeah, you four go. Joe Fish and Elle and the
We're
crew.
We're putting four people on this one.
Yeah.
So yeah, so it's very odd. Or it's just bad continuity with an 80s sitcom.
Probably.
Because now Max is back.
Yep.
So when this episode opens, Mona is walking down the makeshift aisle they've made in the living room.
Yeah.
She's coming down the stairs.
And
she's in
flowers
a full,
everywhere.
Yeah, I mean,
full wedding gown.
Full wedding gown. Like, this doesn't even look like what you would think like a second wedding would be. This is like first wedding level wedding gown. She is all decked out. So as she comes down the aisle, Angela's looking at her all lovingly. Everyone in the audience, the aisles is looking at her. And we see that Max is up at the altar. He's standing next to Tony and he's like, isn't my bride beautiful? And then Tony says, she's more than beautiful.
She's Mona. What does that mean?
I don't know. But I guess we have to assume, I mean, we do assume, we have to know that this is Tony through somebody else's lens. So I think it's pretty funny, actually, that he says something like that. Because this, we don't know whose point of view this is yet. She gets up to the aisle and the minister says, you know, normally we ask this question later in the ceremony, but I'm just going to go ahead and get this out of the way now. Is there anyone here who objects to this union? Speak now or forever hold your peace.
But all things considered, he says. What does that mean? He says, but all things considered, and then he says, does anyone...
Oh.
Well, it's just funny, all things
that
considered.
That means he probably knows Mona.
He's probably slept with her.
A bunch of guys stand up and start to object. There's a businessman... Somebody says, I object. Someone else says, me too. And then someone else says, we thought we had a date on Friday night. So there's a businessman, a firefighter, a construction worker, a police officer, a football player, and a man dressed in what looks like to be a military uniform. And Mona's like, hey, settle down, guys, settle down. Listen, thanks for the memories. It was great while it lasted. And some of you lasted longer than others.
I know. There's that joke.
And then she says, but from now on, I am a one man woman. And she looks over at Max and he's all beaming. He's very excited. So Tony says, you know, think of all the single bars right now are lighting candles.
Single bars.
Because they're losing Mona.
Yeah.
And Mona goes up to Max and says, you big lug, I'm yours forever. The dream is over, so we get a little dream sequence fade to Max sitting at the kitchen table with Angela and Tony. And he's like, that's it. That was my dream. Nobody's dreams are ever very interesting.
No, and that's a kind of terrible dream. A bunch of dudes that Mona probably slept with showed up to your wedding and tried to stop it.
I know. Like, you would think it would be... At first, you think this has to be Mona's dream.
Right, but that's even, what I thought at first.
It's funny that it's Max's dream. And what's funny is that was Tony through Max's lens when Tony was all like, she's not just beautiful. She's Mona.
She's Mona.
So he's like, it's so clear in my head. I can almost picture it. And Angela says that he paints a very romantic picture.
Mm. All right.
And Tony says, yes, Mona getting married makes me want to throw wild rice. Do they still throw rice at weddings? I don't think they do.
No, I don't think that's the thing anymore. Or
bird seed. Yeah.
Yeah, rice.
The rice probably wasn't good for whatever animals.
It's not good for the birds, I think.
Came around and ate it after.
The birds come and eat it or something.
Max says to Angela, so I'm to assume that I have your permission to marry your mother. She's like, you have more than my permission. Like, I am so excited. Welcome to the family. And she gives him a big hug. Tony says, Mona kissed a lot of frogs to get to this prince. Mm. And then he throws himself on this pile of hug here with they're making a little Max sandwich.
Strange.
Max says, I need your help because I really want some advice on how to ask her. I want to make this a very special moment. And Angela's like, oh, I know. Sit down. I've got it the perfect way. Do you think this is really going to be like Angela's what? So overly romantic that I was wondering what this was going to be, but it actually was pretty cute. She says, take her to a little French restaurant for a candlelight dinner. Mm. Then when she's not looking, slip the ring into her champagne glass. But make sure she doesn't. Tony says, make sure she doesn't chug a lug.
Like Mona's gonna suddenly pound down her champagne.
Right, we're gonna have to remember these because I feel like there's gonna be a point when Tony and Angela get engaged, and I feel like both of these scenarios that they're mapping out here happen in a certain in one way or another. Yes. So. Tony's like, you know, I'm a little surprised, Angela, that you didn't think of something more romantic. And she's like, what's more romantic? And he says, picture it. You're at Yankee Stadium. Yeah, I'm sure Angela thinks that's very romantic.
I know, right out of the gate.
And then not only Yankee Stadium, you're at Yankee Stadium on hat day. I don't understand what that has to do with anything. Does the hat come back into it?
The hat?
Yeah, he says it's hat day.
I don't know if it does or not, but that means everybody got a free hat.
So that makes it more romantic?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, bonus, because it's hat day.
Okay.
Like, when you go to the... You don't always get a free gift when you go to a baseball game, but, like, they have away bobbleheads and hats.
I see.
On top of him getting engaged,
which is one of the best days of his life,
it's also he got a free hat. That's my takeaway from it.
I see. Now, I wasn't thinking from the man's point of view. I understand better now. Tony says, in one hand, you have a hot dog. With mustard and relish. Mm-hmm. In the other hand, you have a cold beer.
Oh, that sounds good. I like where this is going.
In your lap is a box of Cracker Jacks. Now, during the seventh inning, you go for the box of Cracker Jacks and you pull out the prize. But it isn't a plastic whistle. It's a diamond ring.
Ooh.
At first, I was a little nervous that he was going to say that he was going to have her reach into the box of Cracker Jacks.
Like, I thought that. Yeah, I did too. I thought that's where it was going. Like,
and I was thinking, this is not going to go well. It's a diamond ring. Then suddenly, the organ player plays, da-da-da-da-da-da, and over the loudspeaker you hear, Angela Bauer, will you marry me? And the crowd goes wild, and he makes an echo, me, me, me.
Yeah, just silly.
And we live happily ever after, and then he's like, oh, I mean, you know, you and whatever guy live happily ever after.
Right, slip of the tongue there.
Yes. And Angela's like, oh, that is so beautiful, Tony. So she actually did think that was quite sweet. She said, that's very sweet. Sweet, 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 sweet.
Silly.
Echo again. Now, just then, Mona walks in, and she wants to know what's going on. She's like, what's sweet? And they're like, oh, nothing, nothing. Angela says, good things come to those who wait. And Mona's like, wait, 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 for what? And they're like, you know, never mind. You'll find out soon enough. So they're all excited. They're saying that there's going to be a surprise. But Mona says to Max, just give me one little hint. He's like, all right, I'll give you one little hint. Will you marry me?
Mm.
Tony says, I guess he couldn't wait for baseball season.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
And Mona says what he heard in his dream, which is, you big lug, I'm yours forever. So Tony and Angela are quite excited.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, this is just like my dream. And then Mona says, but the answer is no.
All right. And then everybody said no.
Yeah, he says no, and Angela says no, and somebody else says no, and Tony says, there's that echo again.
Somebody else.
I can't remember who it was. No, it's probably Mona. Yeah, just someone outside the door.
Right. No.
So now, I don't think you have this part.
You know what, you're right, I don't.
Yours goes straight to Marry Me, Mona.
Yeah, which is really weird.
In the sky.
And they cut out a lot.
Yeah, this is a lot of stuff here. There's going to be a great Tony and Angela scene, too. Okay, so... It's the next day, a couple days later. Who knows?
Yeah, I guess so.
Jonathan walks in the front door holding an enormous bouquet of balloons or bunch of balloons or whatever you would call it. And they say Max and Mona all over them. Mm. Jonathan says, you know, I'm really getting tired of hauling all this romantic crap up to grandma's apartment. So I hope she says yes soon. Samantha, who's sitting on the couch eating a heart-shaped box of chocolate, says, I hope she at least says no to nougat because I'm going to blow up like a balloon. Mm-hmm. And she points to one of the balloons he's holding. Jonathan asks Sam, is this how you get a girl to like you? By spending a lot of money? And Sam says, no, I mean, there's other ways. Like, you can be cute or funny or charming. Then she looks at him and says, spend money.
Yeah. Aw, poor
Jonathan. Now, in the kitchen, Angela and Tony are in there. And Angela's also eating a box of heart-shaped chocolates.
There's chocolates everywhere.
Yes, there are. And Tony's like, will you stop it? Dinner's in 20 minutes. You're going to ruin your appetite.
Yeah, because has he taken his roast out?
No, the roast is still in the oven, I think.
Okay, all right.
And he says, she says, I can't stop. Is there a Betty Ford clinic for chocolate abuse?
Mm.
Tony says, you don't need a clinic. You just need to say no. So she's like, okay, no. And then she eats another piece of chocolate.
It didn't work.
So she takes and she puts the lid back on and then she goes to put it away. And if you look here, Tony's doing something in like his hip. Her hip or somebody's hip hits the counter and the entire kitchen counter wobbles. Stove,
the counter, everything moves.
Not something you would see in a regular kitchen.
No.
Angela says, I wonder if Max and Mother are joining us for dinner. And Tony's like, I think so, unless he's going to wine and dine her again. And Angela says, that guy is so romantic. Tony's like, yeah, he doesn't give up. And Angela can't understand why her mother's not responding. Then she's like, well, she's responding. She just won't say yes. Well, she said yes, just right. Not to marriage.
Right. Yeah, that's good old Mona.
Yeah. And Tony says, you know, Mona, she needs her space. She needs her freedom. She's like a wild gazelle roaming the tri-state area.
Wild gazelle.
She cannot be tamed. And Angela says, well, maybe he can hit her with a stun gun.
That sounds terrible.
It does. But here's what Angela's really worried about. She says, you know, I just don't want to see my mother alone for the rest of her life. Because Angela thinks, you know, she's just going to keep going from guy to guy. And then when she gets older, she's not really going to have companionship. And we don't really know what happened to Mona.
I'd say Mona's having a good time.
Yeah, Mona's having plenty of fun right now. But Tony says, you know,
maybe Mona doesn't care about being with somebody.
She's got Angela and Tony, and that's pretty much all she needs.
That's right.
Tony says two people can love each other and be together without being married. Really, Tony? You think that?
Yeah.
Okay. What the hell are you two doing? And then they just kind of stare at each other for a minute. And he says, I'm going to go take out the garbage. When he opens up the kitchen door, he looks up into the sky and he says, whoa, get a load of this. And Angela says, I told Mother to pull down the shades.
I know. That's funny. That's pretty funny.
So, I just love that it's like, this isn't the first time someone's looked out that window or and the saw kitchen door.
Mona and they're getting it right. on.
Tony's like, no, not that. Come look. So she walks over and looks out. And in the sky, Max has hired someone to write, Marry Me, Mona.
And it's perfectly done.
I know. Skywriting never looks that good.
It's always like the letters are.
I know. This just looks like somebody typed like a font.
Yeah, what do you want?
Into the sky.
What the hell do you want?
Now, if you look at her apartment, so then they cut to Max and Mona looking also at the same scene in the sky. And if you look into the door of her apartment, you can see there are more balloons.
Yeah.
Giant bouquets of flowers.
Everywhere.
Like, yeah, he really is not giving up. Mona says, I've never had my name written in the sky before.
Mm.
Then they walk back into the apartment and she's like, oh, the candy and the flowers and now this. And she's kind of gesturing to a ton of flowers and balloons everywhere. You're spoiling me rotten. And I'm a pushover for rotten. So he's like, okay, does that mean the answer is yes? But she says, no, you know, everything's going really well. Like, why change it? But
true.
Max says, yeah. Max says, I want to be with you all the time. We can take a cruise around the world for a year and I'll get you away from here. But Mona likes it there. She says, I want to keep my job, and I want to watch my grandson grow up, and I want to insult my daughter.
That's...
Look, when Mona moved back in, they got back out that piece of artwork that has straws sticking out of it that you can see behind Mona's head in this one shot. Oh. That was gone when Tony lived there for 14 seconds, but it's back now. So yeah, so she wants to stay there. And he's like, okay, well, that's fine. Then we'll get married and we'll stay here. But she says, why are we rushing this? Like, can't we just enjoy the moment?
Right.
They kiss. And he's like, all right, well, that was a pretty good moment. So now someone knocks at the door, and Angela says, oh, that must be my darling grandson delivering more romantic goodies. Hmm. And then she yells, get out of here, Jonathan. Or beat it, Jonathan.
Yeah.
But the person behind the door says, no, it's Suzanne Roberts. And Mona says, that's weird. I don't know a Suzanne Roberts.
Right.
But Max says, I do. That's my ex-wife.
Uh-huh.
So what did this lady do? Go to his apartment? Say, I'm looking for Max?
I guess.
And then whoever, his assistant, was like, oh, yeah.
Here's the address.
Here's the address. But don't go to the main house. It's the guest house in the back.
Right.
Because Angela and Tony have no idea about this woman at all. So she's just wandered there and found them. Also, there's no mention or... no mention or we don't see his daughter at all in this episode, which I forgot until just now. So then he's like, that's my ex-wife. And she yells, beat it, Suzanne. But Max says, I better get it. She's very persistent. So he opens the door and there is Suzanne, his ex-wife. Max asks Suzanne, what are you doing here? And she says, aren't you going to let me in? And he says, no. And then she's like, yeah, he never means what he says. And she walks in anyway. So this actress is Shawn Ora Ingeman, and she did like quite a few things in the 80s, but hasn't worked since 2015, and I don't really know where I would know her from. Episode of Empty Nest. This is her only episode of Who's the Boss.
Really?
Yeah. She comes in and she says to Mona, you must be Mona, and Mona says to her, you must be 25. And she says, 24, I'll be 25 in April.
Mm.
This actress I looked up is actually 29. She was close, but
at the time,
yes. But she looks very like mature, not mature, but like sophisticated, I guess, for what I would imagine a 24-year-old would look like.
Yeah, that's true.
So Max says, what is important enough to bring you all the way up here to Connecticut? So she, not only did she go looking for him, she's not even from the state. And she says, you remember what you said when we split up, that it was the biggest mistake of our lives? Well, you were absolutely right. So this lady is ready to come back and move back in with him.
I guess so.
She touches his cheek and he shies away from her. So he's not into this at all. He's like, this is not the time or the place to talk about this. So she suggests, well, how about dinner tonight? And Mona says, how about right now? Here, take my apartment. You guys hash this out. I'll go downstairs to Angela's house, you know, and you guys can work this.
Yeah.
And Suzanne's like, oh, that's very gracious of you, Mona.
I know. Oh, very gracious.
Then she links arms with Max and says, we have a lot of catching up to do. And Mona's like, oh, don't worry. Take your time. And then if you need a break, there's a scratching post in the kitchen. She's got to get a dig in there.
Oh, always.
I don't really understand her calling her a cat, though.
I don't know. Like, I don't know.
Now... back in the kitchen, Angela and Tony are in there, and the timer goes off for his roast.
He's excited about that roast.
Yes, and the cabinets move again. So he opens up the oven, and he says, oh, baby, come to Papa.
Mm. Very excited about this roast that no one wants to eat.
It's a center-cut roast with new potatoes, baby carrots, and gravy to die for. Perfection in a pan.
Mm.
Meanwhile, Angela is putting Alka-Seltzer into a glass of water, and she says, it's too bad I'm stuffed. I should have never had that last chocolate. Tony says, yeah, we're the 40 before it.
Right. See, and I didn't have this in my in the Daily Motion one that I watched.
But
no, I'm sorry. I didn't have the other thing of her eating all the chocolate.
Right.
That's what I meant to say.
And you saw no reference to chocolate because you also didn't have the Samantha part.
Right. I did get the reference that she ate all the chocolates, but I didn't know where the chocolates came from. So... I just know Angela that she jammed 40 chocolates in her face and then she needed an Alka-Seltzer.
She just found chocolate.
Yeah.
All right. Now Mona bursts in the kitchen door and says, life is wonderful. And Tony's like, oh, I'm so glad to hear it because dinner's almost ready. But she says, I couldn't eat a thing.
Right. Nobody wants that.
No. Poor Tony. He says, why don't I just pack
up? But didn't he announce to anybody that he was making a freaking pot roast?
Well, he's just making dinner. And he's
but you got to let people know, I guess. Pot roast seems like a lot of work.
Because it's Tony made a turkey last week.
Yeah, that's true for no reason.
He says, why don't I just pack up my meat thermometer and go where people eat? But she says she's just too excited to eat. Now, okay, here's what I don't understand about this. Did Mona come straight from the apartment into the kitchen and say that she's going to marry
Max?
Yes,
I think so. I think she thought about it on the way.
So at this moment in time,
immediately she knew I need to marry him because his 24-year-old's showing up.
So right now, the 24-year-old and him are up in her apartment talking. What if they had decided to get back together? This was really going to blow up in her face.
Well, then, yeah. True.
So she says she's decided to marry Max, and they are very excited. They're like, Angela's like, what made you change your mind? And Tony says, who cares what made her change her mind? We're getting married. And he pulls her into a big hug. Yeah. So Angela's happy, but if you look at the little look on her face right at the end, she's also apprehensive.
Very concerned.
With her Alka-Seltzer that Judith Light is not going to drink. So we go to, I'm guessing, a few days later. Luckily, Max and his ex-wife didn't get back together, and Tony has just come home from shopping with Mona. He's got a bunch of packages in his hand, and as he opens the door, he says, ladies and young ladies, presenting in this living room only, the future Mrs. Mona Robinson Muldoon. Mm. And then Mona comes in strutting with a nightie held up.
I mean, very inappropriate.
Done to her. And Angela says, don't you think that's a little risque for the wedding night? It's actually not.
No.
I mean, it's perfectly fine for a wedding night. And Mona says, no, wedding night. This is for the wedding.
Right.
I think even Sam's in the background shaking her head like, no, that's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Tony says, we had the greatest time out there. It's bride heaven.
Right.
We picked out stemware, flatware, towels. And Mona says, I couldn't get them out of housewares. But Tony says, all she wanted to look at were ceiling mirrors.
So, like, did they sell
ceiling mirrors
back then? Is that a thing?
I don't think it was ever a thing.
All right.
I mean, I think you can get a ceiling mirror, but you're not going to, like, find it at Macy's or anything.
Yeah, okay,
I think you
I
just
wonder.
Have to get someone to install
a mirror on your ceiling, right? I guess so.
I would just be worried that would fall on me at an inopportune moment.
Of course.
Especially here with earthquakes.
Of course you would worry about that.
Nobody wants that.
No, nobody does.
So Mona says to Sam, come on with me. Let's go upstairs and you can help me unwrap all the packages. And Sam's like, oh, great. I can't wait to see what you've got. She grabs all the bags from Tony. Tony hands Mona a red box and says, Mona, do not let her near that red box.
Mm.
What do you think's in there?
I don't know.
I mean, she was already holding up the nightie.
Yeah,
something so maybe else. That's like actual like a whip and some sort of corset.
Yeah, well, you really took it in a different direction.
What were you thinking?
I don't know. More like underwear. I don't know.
Well, she's already holding up the lingerie.
Yeah, I guess it's a whip.
Either that or it's a toy, which is even worse.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, I mean, not worse. Just not appropriate for this show. Angela's like, wow, weddings are a lot of work. Makes you wonder if it's even worth it.
Mm.
And Tony's like, Tony's like, what are you talking about? This is exactly what you wanted. And Angela says, I thought I did, but, you know, I just don't understand, like, you know, why she changed her mind so quickly. Tony's like, Mona's happy, Max is happy, I'm happy, and you're a wet blanket.
Yep, wet blanket.
Poor Angela. She's like, it doesn't add up. Like, one day she wants to be free as a gazelle, and the next day she's making a lifetime commitment. But Tony's like, you know what, that's Moni. Moni, who? Mona.
Moni.
She's flighty, she's free-spirited, and she's wacko.
Okay.
Yeah, but he's like, you know what, this is her business and she can take care of herself. And Angela's like, yeah, maybe you're right. And he says, aren't I always? And then they're gonna let us know that some time has passed,
right? But playing some music
and zooming in quickly to the living room windows.
Yeah, that's what they do now. It seems to be a later season 4 thing.
Yes.
They really picked it up. No, at all.
They really picked that up. Mona and Angela are sitting in the living room and they're going over the guest list for the wedding. And Mona is wondering, should I invite Edith and Edgar Simmons? And Angela's like, sure. And do you want to? And Mona's like, no, I don't want to, but they invited me to their wedding. All right, we'll invite them. Well, that was a real snore. Okay, so don't invite them. She's like, well, I mean, I gave them a pricey gift, which means they're probably going to give me a pricey gift. So Angela's like, you know, it's funny. I just, one minute you're saying that, like, you don't want to get married. And then the next minute we're sitting here, like, planning a wedding. So what was the magic moment? What made you change your mind? Angela's really digging here.
Yeah, of course. Can't leave well enough alone.
Mona says, there were actually several moments, dear. We'll talk about it when you're older.
Oh, gosh. Like, just gotta...
Everything is sex with Mona.
Right.
But Angela's not letting it go. She's like, I just can't help but think that there's something else going on here. So Tony walks in and Mona quickly changes the subject to get Angela to stop talking. And she asks Tony, should I invite the Simmons? And Tony's like, I don't know. I mean, the last party we went to, He got drunk, put a lampshade on his head, and started taking off his clothes.
Oh, sounds like a fun dude.
Yeah, and she's like, all right, they're in.
Yep.
Where was that episode?
I know.
Where was this party?
I know.
I want to see that. So she writes something down, and that means that they're going. Now, the kids come in with Max, so they have spent the afternoon with Grandpa Max here. And it's very cute that Samantha was also included. So they just got back from the ice capades, and Angela asks how it was, and Sam's like, you should see the costumes and the routines. And then Jonathan says, and the legs on those babes. Mm, he says, always. Tongue to the floor.
Wow.
And Angela's like, where do you get these things? And Tony says, Pee-wee's Playhouse, and then gives him a look, which makes me think that at some point, Tony made a reference to his tongue being on the floor in front of Jonathan.
Yeah, right. Pee-wee's Playhouse.
We saw in the last episode, and now this continues through the rest of the series, where Jonathan is like girl crazy. Max gives Mona a box, and he says, I got some munchies for you. Right. And Tony's like, oh, come on. He's like, I've reheated this roast twice already. If I do it one more time, I'm going to be wearing it on my shoes.
Yeah.
But they kind of point to it and they show him it's Cracker Jacks. Like, right. Stop it. She's got to open it. He's like, oh, okay, go ahead. You know, it's a good appetizer. So she opens it up and she's saying, the last time I got one of these, I found one of those little things that click and make cricket noises. I'm not too familiar with the Cracker Jack toys, but that must have been a popular one.
The toy. Yeah, pretty sure.
But this time she pulls out a diamond ring. And wow. Tony says, that's some cricket clicker.
Yeah.
Jonathan's very proud. He says, I helped pick it out. And Sam's like, I helped too. You wanted to get the smaller one. I held out for the major rock. Mm. And Tony says, that's my girl. Okay.
Of course.
And then Mona says, we're going to be so happy together, just the three of us looking at the ring. Okay, does no one remember that this guy has a kid?
Yeah,
and that was like a major point the last episode he was on.
That suddenly is out the window.
So she grabs Max. Oh, I'm sorry. So Max says, you know, not that you care, but it's twice as big as Suzanne's. Mm. That's a really odd thing for him to say.
Yeah,
I know. I know he has to say it here because they need to bring up Suzanne so that Angela's ears can perk up.
Right.
But like, would he really say that? No one would say that.
Probably not. No.
And Mona's like, oh, Suzanne's Max's ex-wife. And Angela's like, oh, really? And he says, yeah, she dropped by a couple of days ago. And let me tell you, Mona showed so much class. Like, she wanted to get back together, but I told her that this guy is taken. And then he kisses Mona. So Mona's like, come on, let's go, you know, let's go back to my apartment. Basically means we're going to go have sex now.
Right.
And Angela says, wait a minute. Can we talk real quick in the kitchen? And Mona says, all right. But she says, you know how to spoil a girl's fun. Then she tells him, don't go too far, caveman. What does that mean? Why is she calling him caveman?
I don't know, like a term of endearment or affection. I don't know.
Because she was the one dragging him out. So it's not like he was trying to drag her out of the room. But then Tony's like, I won't. Okay. So they go into the kitchen and Max says to Tony, don't you think it's time that we start planning my bachelor party? Jonathan's ears perk up this time, and he says, oh, can we get Ty Babylonia to jump out of a cake?
Yeah.
So we look that up, and she's a figure skater.
Yeah, figure skater.
So she must have been at the Ice Capades show that they just got home.
I guess. I don't see her listed as in the Ice Capades ever, but that doesn't mean...
Well, yeah, okay. But I guess anything. He was just picking an ice skater name because they just saw ice skating. Right,
who's good looking. Right. So at the time, you know, like...
Inside the kitchen, Mona and Angela are talking, and Mona's like, oh, okay, so I didn't mention his ex-wife, but I have a lot of things going on in my mind. But Angela sits her down, and she's like, listen, I just want to ask you, is the night that she came over the night that you decided you were going to marry Max? And she says, you know, who remembers? I don't even know. But if you will excuse me, I need to go upstairs and show some gratitude when she motions to the ring. So now I got to go have sex with this guy
because
he gave me a large ring.
Right.
But Angela won't let it go. She's like, just tell me, was it the same night? And Mona's starting to get angry. And Angela's like, you know, listen, you wanted to be free. Then his ex-wife comes to visit and now you're wearing a ring the size of a coconut. And Mona's like, oh, is that what it is? Do you have coconut envy?
No.
okay. So Judith and Catherine Hellman are so great together. And I feel like this kind of is parallel to when we saw them together on the episode where Angela realizes that Mona had an affair on her father. But when these two are together, like, this is going to escalate a bit and Mona gets a little crazy here, but their scenes together when they're emotional are so good. And, like, they're not crazy over the top. They're, like, just enough, I think.
Right.
So Angela says, you know, I think you feel threatened. And Mona says, Mona Robinson doesn't know the definition of the word threatened. So then Angela tells her what it means.
I know.
Insecure, vulnerable, feeling inadequate to a former wife who happens to be a younger woman. So this is exactly what made Mona decide that she wanted to marry Max. But she is not ready to give in to this at all. So Tony comes in. He's like, it's time to check my roast. Poor Tony and his roast.
I know, and the roast.
And Mona gets mad.
Put in the oven.
Like, can you even reheat a roast in the oven twice?
It's gotta be like a leather shoe.
Oh, yes, exactly. So now Mona's angry and she says, you know, I don't want to talk about this anymore. And Angela's like, I just don't want you to marry Max for the wrong reasons. And Tony just walked into all this stuff. He doesn't know what's happening. And Mona's like, well, if you feel that way, then you shouldn't come to my wedding. So Tony's like, no, wait. What are we talking about? Everyone's overreacting here. But Mona says, you know what? I'm going to find a better place, somewhere with more room and nicer furniture. Now she's just being mean.
I know. Tearing into the furniture.
But this is the same thing that happened when they argued over the apartment, too. Like, it escalated very quickly, and Mona lost her mind. So Tony's like, we can just rent some more chairs or something. Like, you don't need to get all upset. So she says, we'll have it at Max's apartment or on his yacht. You know, that'll be a much, much better option. And then she leaves. But before she leaves, she says to Tony, don't worry, you're still invited to the wedding. Mm-hmm. And then she really leaves. So Tony's like, what happened?
Confused.
Right. Angela's like, she won't listen to reason. She's only marrying him because she's afraid of losing him to Suzanne. And Tony's like, I don't think that you're right. And she's like, I know that I'm right. And she's really getting angry at Tony now. And he's like, okay, well, then maybe you are right. But she's your mother. And she's getting married, and you need to be there.
Yeah.
And then she says, you heard what she said. She doesn't even want me there. Judith is so good in this part. Like, the way she says that line, because you can tell she's, like, crying, but, like, trying not to cry.
Yeah.
I always feel like the best cry acting is when someone's actually trying not to cry.
Right.
Because they are going to cry. But, yeah, it's so good. This part and then one other one in Mona's apartment, I think she does such a really good job. You know, we know that she is a dramatic actress and this is a sitcom. And so it's great to see these little moments. And again, like, I don't feel like it's really too over the top. I feel like they're subtle enough that they feel real. Like, it actually feels like a real emotion that Angela would be having. Another great thing they do here, though, is since it is a sitcom, they kind of break it with a little bit of levity, where then Tony's like, what is this? What is the world coming to? It's enough to break a housekeeper's heart. So it's like, it just makes you giggle in him and then kind of breaks that tension.
I know.
Up in Mona's apartment, she and Jonathan are sitting on the couch and they are going through all the invitations. She's like, okay, Jonathan, everywhere that you see 3344 Oak Hills Drive, you need to cross that out and write in Pier 61.
Wow.
Because the wedding has been moved.
That's right. I mean, and that's how we're handling it.
Yes. We're just going to have an 11-year-old child write in the new address. And he says, oh, wow, getting married on a boat is a neat idea. If anyone brings a bad gift, you just make them walk the plank.
Yes. Like it's a pirate ship.
Apparently. This isn't Goonies, Jonathan. It's a wedding. Now, the door opens and Angela comes in. And she asks how it's going. And Mona's like, oh, I'm fine. I couldn't be happier. So she tells Jonathan to run downstairs and go and put all of those in the mailbox. So I'm guessing those are the ones that she worked on because he couldn't have done that fast.
Right. Right. Yeah, it has to be.
Yeah. So he's like, okay, sure, Grandma. Then he says, hey, listen, as soon as you get married to Max, will he put me in his will? And she says, goodbye, Jonathan.
Wow. Yeah.
Jonathan always wants money. Angela says, I came to deliver this. And she hands out a gift to Mona. Mona's like, oh, it's our first wedding present. She's like, it's from me. And Mona asks, why? And she says, well, just open it. So Mona opens the box and it's their great-grandmother's sterling comb.
Yeah, the sterling comb.
She says, you gave this to me on my wedding day with Michael, and now I'm giving it back to you. And she says, asks her mother, do you remember what you said when you gave it to me? Mona says, break it and you're dead. And Angela giggles a bit. And she's like, yes, but then after that. And Mona's like, I don't know, probably just some mushy stuff. And Angela's like, I remember exactly. You said that Michael wasn't your first choice for me for husband, but that I'd always be your first choice as a daughter. That would really suck if somebody said that to you. I mean, like, she and Michael's wedding marriage obviously didn't work out, and Mona was right. But like, if you got married, and would you really tell your kid, like, this isn't my first choice for you to marry? Like, what if they stay together for 50 years?
I know, right?
That's an awkward 50 years.
It is.
But that I'd always be your first choice as daughter. And then Mona's like, I said that? And it doesn't at all sound like Mona.
No, it doesn't.
And Angela says, yes. She said, and you said that as long as I was happy, that's all you cared about. And now I'm saying that to you. And then Catherine Hellman is so good here, too, because she's also, like, kind of tearing up, but, like, not really crying. And then the way Judith says this next line, like, I actually did tear up a bit. But she's, Mona says, thank you, dear. And then Angela says, now may I please come to your wedding? And you can tell that Judith is trying so hard not to, like, really cry,
because
her voice is, like, so high and tight.
Right.
They do a really good job together. So yes, she says, may I please come to your wedding? And then I feel like she does kind of start crying a little bit more, but you don't see it as much. And then they start hugging. Mona's like looking at her and she's like, you know, you should see Suzanne. And she's saying she's really beautiful. And Angela's like, well, Max has really great taste in women. But Mona's insisting, like, you know, I'm not good with this whole being insecure thing. And Angela says, what does she say? You've met the master? Or I'm a master at it, so you can just come lean on me. And Mona's like, okay, well, I will do that in a minute. And she jumps up and heads for the door. And Angela says, where are you going? She says, I need to tell Jonathan not to mail those invitations, because this lady is not getting married until she's good and ready. And she says, I just hope that Max will understand. And Angela's like, of course he's going to understand. She's like, no, I mean that I'm holding on to this coconut. And she holds up the ring. Why would you keep the ring?
I don't know.
But I mean, I guess maybe she's figuring that they're going to keep dating, but we never see Max again.
Right.
She just never figures, spoken
hold,
of.
Hold on to the ring.
Yeah, never see again. Okay, now in the tag, Max, Jonathan, and Tony are all sitting on the couch smoking cigars. And Max says to Tony, you really know how to throw a bachelor party. And Jonathan's like, yeah, this is wild. This is cute again, because didn't Tony do something similar with Jonathan for his dad's bachelor party when Michael got married? So it's cute that they're kind of indulging Jonathan again.
Yeah.
So Max is like, you know, oh, no, Tony says, Max, you're a real good sport for doing this, even though Mona called off the wedding. I know. But Max says, don't count me out yet. Like, I didn't become a successful businessman by taking no for an answer.
That's right.
Sorry, Max. You're not, this is it for you.
Yeah, right.
Oh, see you later. Tony's like, you never can tell with these Robinson women. So now he's like, okay, hang on to your socks here. Oh, no. Yeah, he said, this is going to knock your socks off. He's like, I got a great tape. So he puts a tape into the VCR and he tells them all to get ready. And it's the Ice Capades.
Of course it is. Shut up about it.
And Jonathan's like, all right, this is hot. And they continue to smoke their non-lit cigars. And that is the end of the episode.
Yeah, that's funny. Funny little ending.
Okay, so I think you went first with rating last time. Because I went first with Boss, for sure.
All right.
Okay, I gave this episode a 7. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed it more than I thought I would. Mm-hmm. Angela and Mona are so great together. Catherine Hellman and Judith Light, like, they just really work well off each other.
Yeah, they did good.
They're so good with the dramatic stuff without making it feel way too cheesy for a sitcom. You know, so it was a good character development episode, you know, like, it really kind of took a look at Mona and, you know, brought up the fact that she felt insecure. And Angela really picked up on that and wouldn't let it go, which I thought was sweet. So, yeah, I liked it.
Yeah. All right. Well, I give it a 7, too.
All right.
Pretty much for most of the reasons that you had just mentioned. But But yeah, overall, it was a good episode. And I think, you know, Mona, you know, ended up making the right choice in the end.
Yeah.
And it had its funny moments, Tony and his pot roast.
Yes, that was
and,
cute.
You know, a little, and Jonathan had a couple of cute little scenes in it.
Yes.
Which was nice to see him because Samantha really wasn't in it that much.
I feel like later on in the series, I get annoyed with Jonathan's, like, being girl crazy. But here it's cute because he's still so young.
Yeah, right.
That there's, like, an older, innocence
it's
to
get
it.
Weird.
Yeah, it gets a little creepier once he's actually older. But yeah, so I thought that Jonathan was actually really well used in this episode. Mm-hmm. Like, he had things to do and lines to say.
Yeah, right.
And he did a great
job.
Worked out. Yeah, and he was adorable in all of it. Yeah.
Who is the boss around here? Me or my mother? Or maybe it's you?
I chose Angela.
Nice.
Because I just felt like Angela, I mean, as persistent as she was, you know, she then, you know, realized that maybe she was being a little too pushy, mm-hmm. especially when she got kicked out of the wedding, and then went over and apologized and really told her mother, you know what, I'm not crazy about the situation, what's going on here, but if this makes you happy, then I'm happy.
Right.
And then she says, can I still be in your wedding?
Yeah.
So, but I think in the end, you know, and then they worked out the whole thing. I don't know. Like, I think it made Mona realize that, no, this is not the right decision.
Right.
So, yes, I think Angela is the boss.
I agree with you.
Oh, good.
Yes, I also had her as boss because for the same reasons. Like, she knew something was up as soon as Mona quickly said yes and changed her mind, and then she would not let it go. Mm-hmm. And even Tony was like, let it go. And normally Tony's the one that doesn't want to let stuff
go. Right, right.
And she kept pushing, and then, you know, she went up there and faced her after the mother said, you can't come to my wedding, and then got her to realize what was happening.
Yeah.
So, all right. Okay, so the next episode we're going to cover is Prom Night 2. Now, there was never a Prom Night 1.
Right, that's confusing.
But there's a reason why it's called Prom Night 2.
I figured there was.
Yeah, because I think it's just kind of like redo of prom, and you'll understand it more once we cover it.
I see. I understand.
You can reach us at Who's the Boss Podcast on Instagram or Who's the Boss Pod 1 on Twitter, or go on Facebook to the Who's the Boss Podcast page, or go to anchor.fm/WTB podcast, and there you can leave us a voice message. All right. Thank you, everyone.
All right. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
If you like this podcast, please subscribe and give a big thumbs up and tell all your friends. And maybe you can tell your grandma, your mother, and your sister or brother. Maybe you have no siblings. Tell your dog and cats. Bye.